leprosy. So Leviticus 14, we read of the ritual for the cleansing of healed lepers. So let us read verses 1 through 20 of Leviticus 14. Hear now the word of the Lord. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "This shall be the law of the leper for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest. And the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall examine him. And indeed, if the leprosy is healed in the leper, then the priest shall command to take for him who is to be cleansed two living and clean birds, cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop, and dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle it seven times on him who is to be cleansed from the leprosy, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose in the open field. He who is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, shave off all his hair, and wash himself in water that he may be clean. After that he shall come into the camp, and shall stay outside his tent 7 days. But on the seventh day he shall shave all the hair off his head, and his beard, and his eyebrows. All his hair he shall shave off. He shall wash his clothes and wash his body in water, and he shall be clean. And on the eighth day he shall take two male lambs without blemish, one ewe lamb of the first year without blemish, 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering, and one log of oil. Then the priest who makes him clean shall present the man who is to be made clean and those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And the priest shall take one male lamb and offer it as a trespass offering and the log of oil and wave them as a wave offering before the Lord. Then he shall kill the lamb in the place where he kills the sin offering and the burnt offering in a holy place. For as a sin offering is the priest, so is the trespass offering. It is most holy. The priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it on the tip of the right ear of him who is to be cleansed, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. And the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it into the palm of his own left hand. Then the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand, and shall sprinkle some of the oil with his finger 7 times before the Lord. And of the rest of the oil in his hand, the priest shall put some on the tip of the right ear of him who is to be cleansed, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot, on the blood of the trespass offering. The rest of the oil that is in the priest's hand he shall put on the head of him who is to be cleansed. So the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord. Then the priest shall offer the sin offering and make atonement for him who is to be cleansed from his uncleanness. Afterward, he shall kill the burnt offering. And the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the grain offering on the altar. So the priest shall make atonement for him, and he shall be clean." That's for our reading from Leviticus 14. Let us now turn to the New Testament and to Mark chapter 1. In connection with our text, we'll read the preceding verses, starting at Mark 1, verse 21. "Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, 'Let us alone. What have you to do with us? What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.' But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet, and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. Now as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak, because they knew him. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. Now for a text this morning. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once, and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. Thus far, the reading of God's word. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the text that we have before us this morning is one of the stories that Mark has recounted for us of the beginning of the earthly ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 1, we see that he begins his ministry by proclaiming the gospel of God throughout the region of Galilee. He goes about this region preaching and teaching in the synagogues, and his teaching is accompanied by demonstrations of healings and casting out demons and wonderful signs to show that he, Jesus, had come with authority. We can see this from the amazement of those who witnessed these things in verse 27. There it says, "Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, 'What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even unclean spirits, and they obey him.'" In his authority, in preaching and teaching, Christ shows that he was truly a prophet sent from God. And it is in light of that that the Holy Spirit reveals to us in Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45, the story of Jesus cleansing the leper, to reveal that Christ, the Messiah, was not just anointed by the Spirit as our chief prophet and teacher, but also as our great high priest. And so I proclaim to you the word of God this morning from Mark 1, under the following theme and points: Jesus reveals himself as our great high priest by cleansing a leper. And we shall see three things in developing this theme. First of all, the plea for cleansing. Secondly, the power for cleansing. And third, the proof of cleansing. In Mark's typical fashion, this story begins quite abruptly with little details and with little explanation given to us. We are only given the details that we need to know, that somewhere in Galilee, an unnamed leper comes to Jesus. Now, the shock effect of this opening line is often lost on us. For when we hear the word leper, we don't quite hear it the same way that someone living in the first century Israel would hear it. For them to hear the word leper would bring to their mind ghastly images of a living, breathing, and walking dead man. It was a horrifying disease to have, a disease that in the ancient world was so often associated with death and decay itself because of the grotesque appearance of those who carried it. As their skin became covered in spots and boils, and as their flesh began to rot away from their body, as the flesh of their nose disappeared so that they were just left with holes in their face, and as their fingers began to die off so they were just left with stubs for hands and stubs for feet. For an Israel to meet a leper was to look death in the face. The suffering of the leper, however, was not just in the physical effects of the disease, as horrible as they were. The worst part about being a leper was receiving the declaration of the priest, unclean. For a person in Israel to be unclean was to be an outcast in the covenant community, shut out from the people of God, unable to have communion and fellowship with fellow believers, with their brothers and with their sisters, but worst of all, unable to participate in the worship of God, to participate in the sacrifices, the daily sacrifices, and to draw near to the sanctuary of the Lord where his presence was. No communion with other believers, and worst of all, no communion with their God. We read in Leviticus 13, verses 45 and 46, Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare. And he shall cover his mustache and cry, unclean, unclean. He shall be unclean. All the days he has a sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. He is unclean. But why this harsh separation of a person already inflicted with such a horrible disease? This seems a bit cruel. It seems a bit inhumane, does it not? But we must remember the Lord's words to his chosen people in Leviticus 20, verse 26, where he gives the reasons for all the statutes and the rituals that he had given to them, including the ritual for the cleansing of the leper. And he says, here the Lord says to his people, and you shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have separated you from the peoples, that you should be mine. God had chosen his people for himself, separated them from the peoples, chosen them for his own possession, and he made a covenant with them in order that he could have true fellowship and communion with his people. And leprosy was unclean because it typified to the people the vileness and the abhorrence of sin and death, which were incompatible with the holiness of Yahweh. It signified to the people the horror of the original sin of their first parents, Adam and Eve, the horror of separation and rebellion against God. So anything that was unclean would hinder the covenant fellowship of the people with their holy God. And so it had to be cut off. It had to be removed from his presence so that they could worship him. And so we understand something of the plight of this man as he comes to Jesus, and also something of the audacity that he has to even approach him. He was supposed to be walking around, covering his upper lip and yelling, unclean, unclean, stop! Do not come near me. But he comes to Jesus in desperation. He falls on his knees, imploring him and begging him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. He comes to Jesus with the posture of an unclean and detestable sinner like you and I, in the presence of a most holy God. In his presence, we can do nothing except cry out, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. In Mark 1, verse 28, we read that Jesus' fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. Evidently, this leper had come to know something about Jesus, about the miracles that he was able to perform and that he taught with great authority. He knew that in Jesus was a divine power, the kind of power that was in the prophets like Elijah and Elisha of old, the power to heal. He knew that Jesus could heal him. He had the power to heal him. And he was not so sure that Jesus was willing to heal him. And how often do we not also come before Christ just as this man, knowing that he is able to cleanse us, knowing that his blood was shed for sin, knowing that he has the power to forgive our sins? And how often do we not behold the work of our Savior in the gospel as we hear it preached Sunday after Sunday? And as we see with our eyes and taste with our mouths the Lord's Supper, the precious body and blood of our Lord broken and poured out for the complete forgiveness of all our sins? How often do we not behold the work of our Savior, but instead of looking to Christ in faith, looking outside of us for the redemption obtained for us, accomplished for us by his death and his resurrection, we are stuck looking at ourselves. Instead of looking to Christ, we look inward. We look at our own life, our own record, and we think to ourselves, really? Do you think that Jesus would cleanse a sinner like you? After all that you have done, after those sins that you have committed that no one else knows about except for God, for he sees all things, do you think he would really cleanse a sinner like you? Surely he could, but why would he want to? Or maybe these thoughts don't cross your mind. You don't think you're that bad, but you don't think that Christ would want to cleanse other people. The untouchables, those people you know in your community, even maybe people sitting in the pew behind you who you don't think are really that deserving of cleansing. The untouchables, those people who have done that really bad thing. Beloved, our Lord hates our sin. We must never forget that. It is an affront to his holiness. But he also suffered and he died to bring us full and complete salvation. Christ has paid the ransom. He delights to wash us clean if we come to him in repentance and faith. In Ezekiel 33, verse 11, God says to his people through the prophet, "As I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live." Love, the Lord does not desire that anyone would perish in their sins. Christ hears our pleas for mercy when we cry to him. He desires to remove our uncleanness far from us. As far as the east from the west extends, so far will he remove our transgressions from us. And as we shall see in our second point this morning, he has the power and the authority to do so as our great high priest. So for our second point then, the power for cleansing. The power for cleansing. The expected reaction for someone, especially for a Jew in Israel, when they crossed paths with the leper was to run as fast as they could in the other direction. Never mind the strong reaction of disgust they might feel. If a Jew were to come into contact with a leper in any way, they too would be considered unclean. And to make matters worse, the Jews in Jesus' day, they had added to the laws of Moses, stipulating that even if you came near a leper within 6 feet, if you even came within 6 feet of a leper, you would be considered unclean as well. But what we see is that this is not the response of Jesus. When he comes face to face with this leper, he neither recoils in disgust, nor does he say to him, "Get lost, you leper." No, he has an equally strong reaction, but not one of disgust, but one of sympathy and pity. As our text says, he was moved with compassion. In his inner being, Jesus is deeply moved to compassion for this man, and moved with so great a compassion that is characteristic of our Lord, he touches the man and he says to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." Here we have the Son of God, the only person who could ever be considered clean, reaching out with his hand and touching the uncleanest of the unclean. Why would he touch the leper? Doesn't Jesus know about the laws of uncleanness in Leviticus? Doesn't he know what is written in the prophet Haggai when the Lord is asking the priest about the law? And he asks him if some holy meat, some clean food, were to touch some other ordinary food, if it would make that ordinary food holy. And the priest says, of course, no. Then the Lord asks him if some ordinary food would become unclean if an unclean person touched it. And the priest says, yes. Our Lord knew the Old Testament better than anyone. He knew that things that are clean do not magically make unclean things clean. But quite the opposite, he knew that unclean things made clean things unclean. Furthermore, we know for a fact that Jesus did not need to touch the man to heal him. In the passage following our text in Mark chapter 2, Jesus heals the paralytic with only his words. He says, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house." And immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went out in the presence of them all. And in Luke 17, Jesus heals not just one leper, but he heals 10 lepers without even touching them. He tells them to go and see the priest, and as they're walking away from his presence, they are healed. 10 lepers are healed as they're walking away from Jesus. So why? Why in our text does Jesus touch the leper? Is he not breaking Jewish protocol and worse yet, disregarding the law of Moses? Not at all. For as we shall see later in our third point, Christ honors the law of Moses. But how is it that Jesus can touch this man full of leprosy and not himself become unclean? How is it that instead, as our text says, Jesus doesn't become unclean, but immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean? Well, in order to understand that, we need to take a look at Christ's role as priest. In our reading from Leviticus 14, we read in verses 5 through 7, "And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop, and dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle it 7 times on him who is to be cleansed from the leprosy, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose in the open field." Then in verses 19 through 20, "Then the priest shall offer the sin offering and make atonement for him who is to be cleansed from his uncleanness. Afterward, he shall kill the burnt offering And the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the grain offering on the altar. So the priest shall make atonement for him, and he shall be clean. You see, a leper could only be declared clean by a priest. The priests in the Old Testament were tasked as a kind of mediator between God and his people. Their job was to determine what was clean and what was unclean, so that the worship of God would not be profaned, so that nothing unclean would come into his presence. And so if a leper was to be restored into fellowship with the covenant community, so that he could again go into the sanctuary to worship the Lord, he needed a priest, and only a priest, to declare him to be clean. But a priest is just a man. A priest does not have the power to make someone clean, nor can he declare someone to be clean of his own accord. It was only the hand of God that made someone clean through the means of sacrifice and atonement. As we read, first the man is sprinkled 7 times with the blood of the bird that was killed. Then 7 days later, he returns to the priest to make several offerings before the Lord. And with all these offerings, the priest is making atonement before the Lord for this unclean man so that he could be declared clean again. All this is to say that God takes his holiness very seriously. No unclean person can come into his presence unless an offering has been made for their atonement. As the author of the letter to Hebrews says in chapter 9, verse 22, concerning the Old Testament legal system, according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Here we have the key to understanding our text. When Jesus reaches out and touches the leper and says, "I am willing, be cleansed," he's assuming by his actions the role of a priest. And by the fact that the leper was indeed cleansed in that very moment, immediately it says, Christ is validated as a true priest. And more than that, we see that he also shows himself to be true God, who alone has power to heal diseases. And from Hebrews 7, we understand that Christ is a better priest than the priests under the law, because he is a priest permanently. He is a better priest who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. Hebrews 7, 27. And so you see, beloved, Christ was able to touch the leper and to make him truly clean because, as the great high priest, he was willing to take that uncleanness upon himself. He came as the one who, in fulfillment of what was written in the prophet Isaiah, took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. All the sacrifices for purification and atonement, they pointed to Christ, the better high priest, who would offer himself as a sacrifice once and for all to defeat sin and death. Bearing that leper's uncleanness upon himself, Christ went to the cross. He went to the cross to offer himself as a sacrifice for purification and atonement. And by his blood, he has brought cleansing to restore all people. To restore all people who come to him in repentance and faith to full communion and fellowship with God. The one who knew no sin became sin for us to restore us to the Father. What glorious grace that is, beloved, that Christ took our sin. He took it upon himself. He took all of it and he went to the cross to die as a sacrifice to God. He made purification for our uncleanness. And now in faith we can draw near to God. in full communion with him, with our hearts sprinkled clean with the blood of Christ. We have in our baptism the promise that the Holy Spirit would impart to us what we have in Christ, namely the cleansing from our sins and the daily renewal of our lives. So believe in him. Trust his promise that he would cleanse us from our sins. Believe that Christ is able and also willing as our great high priest to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, just as he cleansed that leper that day somewhere in Galilee. And he will surely do it. And having this certainty that Christ will cleanse us, we now experience the proof of Christ's atoning work in our lives. We shall see this in our third point, the proof for cleansing. So for our third point, the proof of cleansing. In light of the great mercy and grace of redemption that was shown to the leper, we would expect that he would want to go and tell everyone about it. We can relate to that in our own lives, can we not, when something significant happens in your life? Perhaps you get accepted into the university you hope to get into. You get engaged to the love of your life, or you have your first child. These things are exciting. They make us full of joy and hope, and we want to tell others about them. We want to spread it around to everyone we meet. And although that is clearly the response of the leper in our text, we see that this is not what Jesus intends for him. Instead, Jesus strictly warned him, saying, "See that you say nothing to anyone." And then he sends him on his way. Why is that? Why doesn't Jesus want him to go out and tell the whole world about the good news, about the cleansing that he had received from Jesus? Why doesn't Jesus want him to tell everyone? Well, our Lord did not want him to go around spreading a message to everyone that there was a miracle worker in town. He did not want people to have a false sense of who he was as the Messiah, as some kind of revolutionary miracle worker who would free them from the grip of Roman tyranny. He did not want them to have a belief in a kind of Messiah that was there just to perform miracles and to do wonderful signs. For a belief in that kind of Messiah was not a true faith that could endure the difficulties of discipleship. It is a kind of half faith that balks at the idea that the Son of God had to suffer and die on a cross. It is a half faith in the power of a Messiah removed from the necessity of that Messiah's suffering and death on account of our sins. It is a half faith that revels in the power of God to heal diseases and to cast out demons. But it is not a faith in a holy and righteous God, a God who provides the necessary sacrifice for the removal of our sin by sending his one and only Son to die in our place. Jesus had not just come as a miracle worker, but he had come as a preacher of the gospel of God. And his miracles, they were meant to be signs that accompanied his preaching, to demonstrate that Jesus had authority and he spoke with authority. That is why Jesus does not want the cleansed leper to go around just spilling the beans to anyone. Instead, he tells them to show himself to the priest and to make the offering that was required in the law of Moses in Leviticus 14. This demonstrates the respect that Jesus has for the Mosaic law. As he says elsewhere, he had not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And we can also see the mercy of Christ here in that he did not just cleanse the man and send him on his way, but he sends him on his way to go to the priest to bring a proof for them so that he could be declared clean officially, so that he was not just cleansed, but that he was also clean in the eyes of the community, so that he could be restored into fellowship with the people of God. The Lord Jesus wants him to go to the priest, yes, as we just said, to be declared clean, but there's also more to it than that. As we know, the former leper was already cleansed by the authoritative word of Christ, the high priest, and so the offering that he was to bring to the sanctuary of God was not an offering of atonement, but it was an offering of worship. This man had been cleansed. He was again restored to communion with God. And what is the proper response of such a restoration? What is the appropriate response of faith to such an act of redemption? It is to worship. To worship the Lord with gifts and offerings. Beloved, what grace we have received in being cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. And so let us also respond to such a cleansing with a sacrifice of obedience to his word. Unfortunately, this is not the response of the cleansed leper. From all accounts, it does not appear that he went to the temple to worship. No, this man cannot be commended for his zeal, for it is clear from his actions that he deliberately disobeyed Jesus' charge to him. There is a stark contrast between what Jesus says to him, tell no one, say nothing to anyone, and what we read in verse 45, that the leper went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter. And there is something of an irony here in that the word used for this man's running off at the mouth, translated proclaim freely in our text, is the same verb used for Christ's own preaching in verses 38 and 39. Christ's proclamation of the gospel of God and his call to repent and believe the gospel, this was overshadowed. It was dimmed by the zealous preaching of a disobedient man. And the result of this man's preaching was that Jesus was celebratized as a miracle worker. His fame spread far and wide so that half of Galilee was showing up to see if they could catch a piece of the action. Christ's ministry was overshadowed by two negative results of this celebrity status. First, he could no longer go out into the desolate, the quiet places to pray by himself to his Father. Everywhere he went, people came to find him. And the second negative result was that he was no longer able to publicly enter a town. Christ could no longer go into the towns. He can no longer go into the synagogues to preach and to teach, because so many people wanted to come and see what Jesus could do and what he could maybe do for them. Christ's ministry was hindered. He was restricted from doing what he had actually come to do, to preach the gospel and to call all people to repentance and faith. Brothers and sisters, what shall we take from this? For one thing, our text makes it clear that the leper's response is not given as an example for us to follow. His actions are not presented to us as a response of faith. But we should not, on the other hand, take that to mean that a response of faith does not involve proclaiming the testimony of Jesus Christ to the world. For that indeed is a response of true faith. But we must not hinder the ministry of Christ, which continues today. We must not hinder the ministry of the word by believing and preaching half a gospel or living a life of half obedience to the commands of Christ. Do not present to the world a half a Christ. Do not present to the world a Christ of your fancy, of your imagination, a Christ of self-improvement who came into the world to make our lives better. That is not who Christ is, and that is not why he came. Rather, believe and testify to Christ as our great high priest, who in fulfillment of the Old Testament priesthood came to offer himself as a sacrifice once for all time. Believe in Christ and testify to him who came so that his own blood might be poured out for the complete forgiveness of all our sins, poured out for our cleansing and for our purification. Beloved, our high priest does not turn away the weak and the lowly. He does not turn away unclean sinners like you and me. No, his compassion is as deep as the ocean, such that he is willing to reach out and touch unclean sinners like you and me. As a sacrificial lamb, his blood was shed for you to cleanse you and to make you pure and white as snow. Yes, indeed, worthy is the lamb for sinners slain to receive blessing and honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us come to God in prayer. Our gracious God, we come before you in thankfulness for our great high priest. We thank you for Christ, our Savior, your only begotten Son, and of whom you sent into the world to take on our human flesh, who came into this world and lived as a man. He lived a life of perfect obedience to your law, to everything that you commanded. He did not stray to the right or to the left. Lord, we thank you that as our great high priest, he suffered during all the time that he lived on earth, but especially at the end, on the cross, where he bore your great wrath against all our sins. Lord, we thank you that as the sacrificial lamb, without spot and without blemish, that he was crucified for our transgressions, and that his chastisement has brought us peace. We thank you that by his blood we have cleansing and forgiveness of sins. And Lord, help us never to grow dull to this reality that in Christ we have peace with God. Father, help us also to ever be thankful for this cleansing, that we might live a life before you of thankfulness, a life of sacrifice, a living sacrifice of obedience to you, that we would worship you and praise you and give you thanks for the salvation that you have brought about for us. And Lord, we ask that the word that we heard this morning of Jesus' role as our great high priest in the cleansing of the leper, that you would impress it upon our hearts, that you would also continue to shape us and to mold us to be people of your word who do your will, that you would conform us to the image of your Son, our Lord and Savior. In his name do we pray. Amen.